Well, I hope you've come tonight with a sense of urgency.
You don't need this, won't you?
No.
No.
Got this. With a sense of urgency to pray for our nation. I think it's time that we get in earnest and serious about praying for our nation as the body of Christ. I'm not going to try to entertain you tonight. I probably couldn't if I tried, but I'm not going to try to entertain you tonight. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit and exhort you a little bit. Hopefully, for just a short period of time, and then we're going to pray. We're going to focus on praying for our nation. We need to be sure that we step up to the plate, folks, and pray for our nation. If we don't, nobody else is, I guarantee you. In Matthew's Gospel, the fifth chapter, and verse 13 through verse 17, Bill's got it up back here and up here, and I'm going to read it back there, and you can read it here, because if I turn my head, you see my bald spot. So I'm getting so old I don't want to turn my head anyway. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost its savor or lost its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I think I gave him too many scriptures, so we'll just skip that one. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." You stop and think about it. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a seasoning. Salt kills weeds. You know, you put salt on weeds, it'll kill them. Salt melts ice. And salt is a necessity to life. So Jesus said, he said to believers, "You are the salt of the earth." Then he said, "You also are the light of the world." Light invades darkness. You're the light of the world. Light invades darkness. It drives the darkness away. It overcomes darkness. It wipes the darkness out. Darkness is just the absence of light. And where there's light, there is no darkness. Darkness is more powerful than light. Darkness can't drive away light, but light can destroy and defeat darkness. That's why Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world." The Bible tells us also that the church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is responsible to God for being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The salt that preserves the world that we live in. And the light of the world that drives away the darkness. I don't know about you, but I am deeply... I'm not just blowing hot air. I mean this. I am deeply concerned and alarmed at this point in the history of the United States. Because the main reason I think we're at this point is because I believe the church has gone to sleep at its post. We have not been standing up for the truth. We have not been salt and light that we ought to be, or I do not believe, if we had, I don't believe the world would be in the shape that we're in today. So I'm deeply concerned about it. America, you stop thinking about it, America has not fought a physical war on our soil in over 150 years. But I believe there has been an intense life and death spiritual war going on in this country since the turn of the century. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences. He shouts in our pain. It is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. He whispers. He whispers when we're enjoying ourselves. This all came from the gracious hand of God. He speaks in our consciences when we do things that are wrong, and when we violate the principles of God's word. He speaks in our consciences, and he shouts in our pain. Stop and think about it. God has been shouting to warn us, I am convinced. He has been shouting to warn us of an impending judgment since the turn of the century. 9/11, God's shouting at America, wake up. The spiritual wickedness that is in high places, I'm talking about in the political realms and in the leadership of our nation, the spiritual wickedness is God shouting at the church that we need to wake up and get serious about seeking his face. The COVID-19 that came along, I believe was God shouting to America. The recent catastrophes that took place around the country, I believe is God shouting to us and saying, I want you to wake up and pay attention and be the church that I've called you to be. You have to stop and ask yourself, as we observe what's going on in the world that we live in, there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of evil. It makes you ask yourself, is God going to be silent when all this is going on? And in times like these, is God going to be silent? You have to ask yourself, do we need to, some people think they have to defend God. Do we need to defend God? And in times like these, I'll never forget what Max Gorky said many years ago when I was at Bible college. He was talking one day in chapel about how sometimes people think they got to defend God, what he does and what he does not do if he don't do it the way they think he ought to. And he said, you don't have to defend God. He gives us his word, and his word is like a lion. All we have to do is just turn it loose, and it'll defend itself. And so we don't have to defend God. What is God shouting to us about at this moment? What is God shouting to us about in 2024? Listen, he is saying, let me just give you two or three things I think God is saying. God is saying, this is not how I intended life to be. Amen. This is not what I intended your life to be, what we deal with from day to day, the direction that the world is going in. This is not what God intended for it to be. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Matthew chapter 6 and 33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. But what are we seeking? We're seeking pleasure. We're seeking possessions. We're seeking power in our lives. Even believers, it seems to be that this is what we have been seeking after for a long time. We get caught up in the ways of the world, and we ought to be seeking the will of God. We ought to be seeking the presence of God. We ought to be seeking the purpose of God, and His and meaning that our lives have, the purpose for which God gave us life. So God is saying, this is not how I intended life to be. The things that you and I are experiencing all around us now. He is saying, my heart is extremely grieved. I believe the heart of God is grieved every day. Even by the lives of professing Christians who just focus on going through the motions and practicing religion. I believe God is saying, my heart is grieved. In Joel chapter 3 and verse 9 through 16, the Bible says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. And then he says, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near, and in the valley of decision. And then again, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Bible says, in the words of Jesus, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. God's heart is extremely grieved by what is taking place in the world that you and I live in today. He is not only grieved, I believe, with a lost world, but we need to search our own hearts. I believe God is grieved with his own people. I believe we need to search our hearts and see where we have strayed away from the path that God's called us to walk on. I believe we need to search our hearts and ask ourselves, are we standing for the things that God wants us to stand? Or are we just patronizing everybody and going along with what's taking place in our world? Are we standing for the truth? Are we standing courageously for what is right? I believe God's people need to repent, and we need to search our hearts and ask ourselves if we were in a place where God wants us to be. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, the Bible says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we need to ask ourselves, how have we grieved God? Why are we in the position that we are in today that is so threatening to the lives, to our comfortable lives that we're used to living? What part of it, what part of the blame do we bear? I believe God's heart is extremely grieved at the lack of zeal on the part of his people to win the lost, to stand for things that are clearly taught in the Word of God, and to stand against the evil of the world that is all around us in our day. So what are we building our lives upon? How are we investing our lives today? Or are we just wasting our lives? Are we investing them in the kingdom of God, or are we just wasting our lives? I mean, you know, you can, folks, you can go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and still have no impact on the world unless we get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ and stand up against things that are evil and make it clear where we as believers stand as followers of Jesus Christ. Yeah, so what are we building our lives upon? You know, the Bible tells us that evil will cease one day. And it'll all come to an end. God will call a halt to it all and say enough. It's time just to put an end to all of this. Evil will cease one day. It causes me to ask, is this that day that evil will cease? Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Read it with me. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. Folks, that day is going to come. This just may be that day. We have to decide where we're going to stand. What will we do? The scripture asks, in the swelling of Jordan, in times like these, where are we going to stand? What action are we going to take? Are we just going to sit on the sidelines and sing our little hymns and not confront the evil that faces us every day of our lives and not stand for the things that God wants us to stand for? What shall we do in the swelling of Jordan? 1 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. You probably know what it says without even reading it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's the promise that God has given to us. if we will turn from our wicked ways, if we'll humble ourselves and turn and pray and turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin, the Bible says, and will heal our land. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need to learn how to pray, folks, not just little nursery rhyme prayers that we've memorized, but we need to learn how to get into the presence of God and touch His throne as His people. We need to learn how to seek His face and be willing. If we want God's blessing, we're going to have to turn from our wicked ways. In Mark chapter 9, and verse 29. We have the story here of Jesus coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he finds his disciples at the foot of that mountain, and they're trying to cast the demon out of a little boy whose father had brought this little boy to the disciples. And they had failed. And so when Jesus arrived, they came to him and asked if he could do what they could not do. And Jesus said, "I can, if you believe." And they said, "We believe. Help our unbelief." In other words, they said, "We have some faith. Lord, let that be enough for my son." And then after Jesus healed the boy, the disciples came to him and they said, "Lord, why couldn't we cast that demon out of this little boy?" And Jesus said, "Because this kind comes only through prayer and fasting." This kind of faith comes only through prayer and fasting. We're going to have to get in tune with God. The reason Jesus said prayer and fasting is necessary for that kind of faith to see miracles take place is because, folks, we need to learn to pray and fast and really learn how to seek the face of God. To focus our hearts and our minds on seeking God to move in our lives, to change our lives, and to change the world we live in. That's why Jesus said that kind of faith only comes through prayer and fasting, focusing our hearts and minds on what only God can do. I mentioned this morning that Monday, tomorrow, there are going to be thousands of Christians going to stop at 6 o'clock tomorrow and pray earnestly, sincerely pray. I believe that's a proper time for believers to demonstrate how earnestly we were seeking God's face is that we stop and fast and pray and get our minds and our hearts right with God so that He can move in mighty ways. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What do you mean wicked ways? We're all saved. Yeah? Is there nothing in your life and my life that we need to surrender to God? We need to seek the face of God for? Are we praying as we ought to pray? Are we telling folks about Jesus? Are we confronting evil in the name of Jesus the way we ought to be? Are we living for Christ and letting the world see Him in our life the way we ought to be? Or do we need to repent and turn to God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, the Bible says, and will heal their land. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, the prophet said, speaking for God, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. But I found none. Who will stand in that gap today? Will you? Will I? Will the body of Christ stand in the gap today and make up the hedge? Can God depend on us? It is my prayer that he can, and that we will not fail our Lord and Savior in this critical hour that we're facing today. I believe it is far, far more critical than any of us could ever begin to imagine, that God's people stand for the truth and stand for Jesus Christ in the day that we live. So tonight, I want us to spend some time in prayer. I believe we need to spend some time in prayer, don't you?
Amen.
So I'm going to ask four guys that I've already spoken to come up front and lead us in prayer tonight. And you can come to the altar if you want to, or you can make your seat an altar. But I ask you tonight that we, as the body of Christ, humble ourselves before God and seek His face and ask Him if there's any wicked way that we need to turn from. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to ask Kyle Waddell if you come up, and also Larry Pike, Pastor Rudd, and Philip Tipton. And